Are you ready to optimize your nutrition this year? Confidence, okay? It's still Q1. We still have time. Factor has chef-made gourmet meals that make eating well easy. They're dietitian approved and ready to heat and eat in 2 minutes. So you can feel right and feel great no matter what life throws at you, okay? Factor arrives fresh and fully prepared, perfect for any active, busy lifestyle like me. I am like too busy thinking about what I need to feed Hippo, let alone have the time to think about what I need to be feeding myself, which is why I love when Factor shows up at my doorstep. With 40 options across 8 dietary preferences on the menu each week, it's easy to pick meals tailored to your goals. Okay, you can choose from preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, or Keto. Eat smart with Factor. Get started at factormeals.com/factorpodcast and use code FACTORPODCAST to get 50% off your first box plus free shipping. That's code FACTORPODCAST at factormeals.com/factorpodcast to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Here, the podcast where we're absolutely sure we don't know everything. It's me. It's me. All my altos out there struggling to keep up with that trend. Hey, everybody. How's it going? Hope your week was great. Hope you're feeling good. Oh, I am feeling great. I just got back home from an Oscars viewing party with some pals. I love catching up with like artistic-y friends on like artistic-y nights like that. Like it was all fun filmmaker, content creator friends watching other artists, filmmakers achieving their dreams. And I think it used to, like, watching award shows used to put me in kind of a depression because I'd always be like, oh, wow, they're achieving this at what age? And I would be like, wow, I'm so behind. Like, there's no way I'm going to win an Oscar ever. And it's just, it's so silly because, A, half of the people that win never, like, weren't thinking they were winning an Oscar anytime soon or, like, had probably not even assumed they were going to be submitted for an Academy Award. And two, it's like everyone who goes up there is in shock that they're winning. Like I've never had anyone go up there that I can remember and think of them saying like, I knew it. I deserved this. Like I just genuinely, I love that it now it makes it all feel like level playing field. Like any, it could happen to anyone. It could be you, dear listener. Oh, how's your night? I guess morning, day, depending on when you're listening to this. We're having a fun, spicy combo today. Today we are talking about a topic that I don't think we have done a pure Q&A on, which I'm shocked I haven't done this. You know, it's something that floods my DMs. It's always a topic of convo in group chats. It's the thing that'll make your therapist head tilt. It's non-monogamy, baby, or open relationships, all of the things that I practice and I guess don't preach enough. I asked you guys to submit questions for me to answer, and I'm going to do my very best to speak from my lived experience as someone who has been in open relationships for the last 8 years of my life, most of my adult life. And I would argue, like, majority pretty successfully. I will speak on the pieces of them that I think weren't successful and why. But again, that's, like, kind of part of it all. It's going to be messy. It's going to be beautiful. And it's going to be catered for you. Before we get into that deep dive in, though, you know, I got to hit them with a little TikTok talk. Okay, let me open my talk because I was laughing so hard earlier. There was a TikTok that said, describe your ex as a brand. I want to laugh. And these comments are so gold. I feel like this has become my new segment. It's me just reacting to comments from popular TikToks, but here we go. Some of my favorites. So describe your ex as a brand. I want to laugh. First answer, Ross, because I settled for less. That's not the quote. It's I dress for less, but I appreciate the try. This one was interesting because Yahoo, the actual TikTok of Yahoo, the website, commented this. Yahoo, because I should have kept searching. Dead. Make-A-Wish, because I was doing charity work. This one sent me. McDonald's ice cream machine, always broke. Drag them. This one made me LOL. Duolingo, because I never learned my lesson. God damn, if I ain't guilty as charged, the amount of times, it's probably my most re-downloaded app. This one just made me laugh. Timu, he made promises but never delivered. Yo, if you've ever gotten something from Timu successfully delivered, let me know in the comments below. I want to know what thing you ordered and was as pictured, and maybe even it was better than you expected. Let me know what is safe. This one made me laugh. CVS, because I have hella receipts. Seriously, is it a bit now at this point with CVS how much receipts they fucking give us? Taco Bell, good at 3 a.m., but regretted it later. Damn. This one made me laugh. The comment says, brand? Baby, he was thrift. God, Jesus, these are so, God, Amazon Prime, he came so fast. Twitter, because now he's my ex. Hello Kitty, because he said hello to every kitty. Capital One, because he always asks what's in your wallet. Forever 21, because he'll never grow up. I mean, Shein, it was bigger in the picture. I can't. Build-A-Bear, I built that man. I could keep reading these all damn day. The internet is so funny, dude. It's so joyous. It's never disappointing, you know? The comments make me realize, like, how not witty. I'm not fast enough, you know? Sometimes I just leave comments of, like, many-faced emojis, just laughing face, laughing face, laughing face. That's my go-to. Or, like, heart, heart, heart. I gotta get better with my comment history. But anyway. Oh, what else? Housekeeping.
Bing.
Oh. Zachary, back from the dead.
Bing bong.
Housekeeping. What housekeeping? Okay, let's see. I think I'm on like week 3 or 4 of living as a single mother in this house. Boyfriend still out of the country. Girl, we're dating. Busy. I did get to see her a little bit this week. But your girl has just been like reclaiming independent power. You know, I think like the thing that always goes through my head in times like these where I'm feeling like just a little bit tested with my existence is like I thrive when I'm alone, but I enjoy sharing my space and I enjoy sharing my life with somebody else, whether it be friends or whatever. And I'm good on my own, but there are times where I get lazy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what it is about having either like a roommate or someone in the house or like living with your partner where like you just get up because they're there. They're just like your accountability partner, right? Like they're up, so you get up. And then sometimes I'd be like, damn, I'd be slacking on some shit. I'd really be fucking procrastinating, man, on some things. And so I say that because it's a good, like, rechecking in with myself. Like, where am I dropping the ball on some things? Where am I needing a little bit more, like, self-motivation? Where do I need to push myself a little bit harder? There's, like, the grind set mindset, which I think is very toxic, but I also think can be very helpful for someone like me that needs to find work to be joyful. And it's not that I'm not relaxing, because I certainly do, like, sit with myself and my thoughts, and, like, you know, I'm not out 90% of the time. I'm at home, because I don't be going out like that. So this is, like, another good practice in just, like, socialization, getting out of my house past 6 p.m. Like, as much as I think majority of people don't go out past their house at 6 p.m., some people thrive in the nighttime, you know? Like, I see people who be going out and doing shit all the time, and I'm like, well, if they can do it, why can't I? Like, is it really just an energy thing? How do y'all get more energy? Do you go out past 6 p.m.? Even on weeknights, like, even on especially on the weekends, I'm like, I want to be home early so that I can sleep and, like, get up early and do it again. I don't know. Let me know in the comments below. How's your routine been going? So that's been that. I feel like, you know, I've been doing also this. Is it called Pomodoro?
Google it.
Google it.
Don't Google it.
I think it's called the Pomodoro, which I thought was a sauce or a pasta. But the Pomodoro method, which is like 25 minutes on, 5 minute break of just sprints of things. And that feels so obvious to say, but when you actually do it, like, that seems like such an obvious way to work. Like, duh, that's like tale as old as time, is a tried and true method. Duh. But, like, have you actually ever sat down and tried to do it? Like, maybe when I was back in an office, I naturally did it. Like, I'd work really hard for X amount of time, then I'd get up and go get a snack, or I'd work really hard and then go pee or whatever. But, like, when you're doing it at home on your own strength and time, it's tough. And, like, the best part is when you get into a flow state. Like, that is my favorite fucking thing, is when you just keep going on it. So I'm thinking about doing some, like, TikTok lives maybe this week to do some Pomodoro method with everybody, like, just body doubling, right? And I feel like maybe having people feeling like they're watching, or that I'm watching or conversing with or collaborating with. Let me know. Is that something you guys would do? Are you on the talk? Do you ever watch lives? Put it below, chat. Let's see. Okay. I think we should just get started on some of these questions, because I've got a few and I want to try and get through all of them. So we'll get through as many as we can, and then maybe we'll take a quick break and then come back. Okay. Let's get through a couple of these. I have read a lot of books on non-monogamy. You know, I feel like the classics, Ethical Slut, More Than Two, Smart Girl's Guide to Polyamory. I just am finishing up Open Deeply, which is a really good one. I like a lot. That one is more catered to couples or people in long-term relationships that want to open up their relationship. There's a bunch of TED Talks. There's some podcasts. I don't know that the media has the best representation of open relationships that aren't like catastrophized or used as like plot in things. If you have any media or like books or shows that you feel like the space is accurately represented, drop it below. I'm dying to know. But I think that I've always been a very, like, open person, obviously. But when it came to relationships, I believe that because I had a high school sweetheart, like, my junior and senior year, I was dating a guy. And before that, I had gone through this, like, very insecure period of my life of, A, not, like, really fully ever accepting my bisexuality. It was so very obvious and clear and presenting itself in many different ways of being with women. But I don't think that I was proud and out. I was out, but I wasn't like, this is a piece of my identity. Nice to meet you. And I feel like because I went through that relationship young, I got to feel what like young first love felt like. I understood like partnership felt good. And when it's healthy, it's really beautiful. But that never satiated my desire to be with more than, oh, you guys might get to meet Larry. Larry, my other cat who's never out, is about to jump up into my lap. Let's see if he'll join us. You want to come up, Larry? Come on. There he goes. He's a big Maine Coon. Do you guys remember Larry? Maybe he was in some old podcast episodes. He might have been back in the day when we used to podcast on my living room couch. Yes, sir. I always found myself, even in the most like stable first love high school relationships, always found myself searching for ways to still like be with other people in like sexual ways or in social circles or finding ways to like present myself as available. And it wasn't just because I was like an attention whore, because I was, still am. I wear that proudly. I just always had this sense of wanting community, like having people that I trusted with intimate secrets or like intimate conversation or just people that were like-minded but also pushed me, challenged me. Like I always found myself wanting that community of closeness. You know, I wasn't really ever someone that had like a ton of fair weather friends. I always had like a close-knit circle. And funnily enough, I did end up hooking up with like the majority of my close-knit circle of friends for one reason or another. And so when I finally got out of that first love relationship and I was in, you know, college still and kind of like getting into my early 20s, like getting my first jobs and things like that, I feel like I would have gotten more open with my relationship had I known that that was a thing I could do. Oh my God, Larry is drooling all over my pants. He's such a drool cat. It's not a problem. It's just whenever he purrs, he drools because he doesn't have very big bottom teeth. Okay, Larry, I can't stand my pants getting wet like this. All right, we're going to have to cuddle later. Oh, he's caught in my headphones. Okay, Larry. Oh no. Lair Bear. Okay, he doesn't want to leave. Larry, buddy, I love you, but okay, are you just going to lay? Okay. That was chaotic. Where was I before I almost freaking got doused by cat drool? Yes, okay. So I think I would have been more in an open relationship in my early 20s and my first adult relationships had I known that that was a thing I could have done. It just really wasn't represented or accepted in the day of my people. It wasn't like a conversation anyone was having. And it was the first time that I really struggled with the way that I looked. This was like pre-jaw surgery. It was post one kind of jaw surgery, pre like my facial reconstructive surgery. And it was the first time I really didn't love the way that I looked. And I found myself just struggling like young women do, where I was always comparing myself to people I saw online. This was the beginning of Instagram. And I don't think I was able to, Larry, I don't think I was able to be open or like attend sex parties and things like that because I didn't like my body. I didn't like my face. I didn't like the way that I was. I couldn't imagine people finding me attractive. And this was when I was really like starting to work on my comedy instead, because I was like, I'm just going to joke my way through life instead of like admitting I have any insecurities. I'm going to beat you to the laugh and beat you to the punch. And so I never got to really like accept myself then. And so when I did get into an adult like relationship in my early 20s, I would find ways to hook up with other girls and things, like when I was drunk or it was a dare or a party or whatever. Like it wasn't something I owned very well. And it really wasn't until I got into the relationship with the DJ, aka Jared, that I was like, oh, okay, I'm older now. I'm wiser now. I know what this word is. I've heard about polyamory. Even though that still doesn't like always make the most sense to me word wise, like the definition of like what I think, like, I don't know. I'll go over those things, but like polyamory has its pros and cons too. I like to refer to myself as ENM or ethically non-monogamous or in like an open relationship. And Jared being the first relationship that I was really actually open with, there was like tons of mistakes made. Like there were tons of errors and trials and tribulations. The difference between then and now is that when those things happened back then, I thought it was like irrevocable, unforgivable. You could not save or fix, or like we were doing it wrong or we were bad. But like, the difference now is now I know that like people will make mistakes, like you'll fumble through things, you'll have accidents, but like especially if you're a couple opening up, if at the core piece of like you both love each other is still there and it's expressed and it's communicated, that it's not the end of the world when you're both choosing to go into this world. There's going to be flubs along the way. There's going to be miscommunications. You're going to learn by doing. And so when I get asked about non-monogamy, like there are so many different facets to it that I even am still figuring out like how to vocalize my best version of like what I see as the ideal relationship agreements and partnerships, what that looks like even for me all these years later. And here we are now, you know, all these years later. And I feel like I've got a pretty good handle on it. So let's kick it to a quick break. And when we come back, we'll answer your questions. Confidant, do you struggle with like your hormone balance? I know I do. There is so much happening in our environment all the time that is putting me in dysregulation, you know, like stuff in our food, in our skincare, not to mention all the natural chemical changes that are happening in our bodies in general. But now we don't have to suffer through it anymore. Okay. You are not alone. Now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. I am talking about irritability, moodiness, discomfort, uncontrollable cravings, racing thoughts, low moods, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows, baby. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the show code Kelsey at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use our code Kelsey for 15% off today. Confidants, have you heard of NAD Plus? If not, stick with me here, okay? Because I've been hearing about this everywhere and I was like, wait, what even is this? Apparently, it's a powerful peptide found in every cell in your body, right? It fuels energy production, supports cellular repair, and it plays a key role in slowing the aging process. But as we age, NAD Plus levels decline and it can lead to fatigue and brain fog and sluggish metabolism. So this is where Effecty comes in, right? Effecty's NAD Plus therapy helps restore those levels, giving you a natural energy boost, improve focus, and enhance recovery, all with a simple injectable or a nasal spray for anyone wanting to go needle-free like me. And the best part, truly, confidants, this is why like I wanted to tell you about this, it's 100% online. Okay, it's fast shipping. I got mine so quickly. There are no hidden fees and unlimited access to licensed doctors, so you can start feeling the benefits in no time. I have been using the nasal spray. I do it in nostrils 1 to 3 times a day, and I genuinely feel like
such a glow and happier peace of mind. I am such a big fan, and I want you to become one too. So are you ready to recharge your body? Right now, my listeners get $50 off NAD Plus longevity treatments at effecty.com with code Kelsey at checkout. That's EFFECTY.com and use code Kelsey for $50 off. No hassle, no membership, no hidden fees, just real results. Get started today. That was me sleeping, confidants. Did you know that we spend nearly a third of our lives in bed? That's a lot of time. So why not make every night's sleep the best it can be with Avocado's Green Mattress? All Avocado mattresses are crafted with certified organic latex, wool, and cotton, ensuring a safe, healthy sleep environment free from harmful chemicals and toxins. Like, duh, when you're sleeping, why wouldn't you want that? Okay, it is designed to provide exceptional support and comfort with options ranging from gentle, firm to plush, meaning diverse sleep needs and preferences are all taken care of. Okay, baby, you can even take a mattress quiz to see which mattress and comfort option is right for you. And Avocado is committed to sustainability. Their mattresses are made from organic, eco-friendly materials that are both good for you and the planet. So head to avocadomattress.com today and save up to 10% on certified organic mattresses. Dream of better.
Okay, I'm going to keep all of these anonymous because I did not ask people to give me their names anyway. Okay. First question, I'm single and interested in non-monogamy, but I don't even know where to start. How do I figure out what type of non-monogamy is right for me? This is such a great question, okay? I love that you're also thinking about this before you just go out there and try, because there is so many different types of relationships in this umbrella world of openness that, like, there are specific tiny little details, agreements, boundaries, desires that you are going to figure out what you want. You might not know it all now, but I think the very first step in someone who maybe thinks they might be interested in this lifestyle is self-inquiry, okay? Like, having any emotional literacy with yourself is so crucial. And you might not know exactly what you want, but I think there are these innate gut feelings that we understand that feel good, that are at our most inner desires. And then there's like the patriarchal programming that we're led to believe. Like, at first I was like, okay, I think I have to have like a primary partner, aka like a hierarchical primary partnership. And then like, then I'll feel safe to explore. And then when I was single, I was like, I want to be a little bit of like a relationship anarchist. I don't want anybody to have any power dynamics around me. And then like, I found this beautiful fluidity in having a primary partnership. And so I think just understanding the lingo too, like understanding what the difference between all the words are. And I mean, in your case, you say you're single. So, you know, do you want those like deep romantic relationships with multiple people? That's polyamory. Do you like the idea of a committed partnership, but then like fun on the side? That's an open relationship. Or do you hate the idea of ever having to decide and like say no to anything you want to do? Like, that might be relationship anarchy. Like, a really good exercise in anyone that is discovering this part of themselves is to write down the motivations, right? Are you in a place in your life where you're actually looking for love? Are you just looking for pure sex? Are you looking for community like me? Like, understanding that will help you go through this process way more intentionally and avoid things that aren't aligned with, you know, your values. And also, those things can shift and they are totally subject to change. And any agreements, even someone who's not single, if you're in a partnership that you have made, are constantly flowing. And like, life changes and stress happens and jobs and babies and sickness, like things come at you. And so these agreements are always meant to be fluid. Like, to say I have these hard agreements and this is exactly what I need and want, like, I think that would be very hard to be in a relationship with someone with very strict things that are never, you know, those boundaries are never changing, or your accessibility and desires and wants and availability aren't changing. So I hope that was helpful. Okay, here we go. Question number two. My partner and I have been together for 6 years, and I'm the one bringing up opening our relationship. How do I do this without totally freaking them out? First off, I am so proud, and I feel so so related to you with this feeling, because I remember that feeling of feeling like I knew there was this piece of me that I felt like I was hiding or diminishing or muting to be with somebody. And maybe it was something even that like bubbled up on the surface while I was with that person. And I felt like, oh my God, like what's wrong with me? Why do I want this? I shouldn't want this. I can't want this. And, you know, I've trashed all of those like toxic beliefs, but every now and then, even still, when like something comes up and I'm like, oh gosh, I don't want to hurt anybody, I get that strong feeling. So the good news, I feel like, is this conversation does not have to be a very like dramatic, we need to talk moment that like sends anybody spiraling. I feel like the tough part is, though, that you do need to prepare for that to happen. Like, how well do you know your partner? How well do they cope with change? How well do they, you know, like, have you guys ever even talked about, you know, spicy desires? Like, have you ever talked about bringing in a third for a threesome? Like, or even like kissing another person? You know, have you ever even presented those scenarios throughout your relationship that you can kind of gauge how they may or may not react well to this? I will say that the most important thing in opening a relationship of an existing partnership is communication, baby. Communication, communication, communication. If you don't think you and your partner are at your most authentic, communicative frequencies yet, I would almost argue to work on that before you attempt to open up. And while I am still constantly discovering things like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that this was connected to like my upbringing, or like this makes me feel this way because of XYZ or programming, like I know that those epiphanies can happen because I have the ability to communicate them as they come up. If you're someone that needs to like feel feelings, process, take time with them, mull over them, and maybe not have all the answers right away, you can still totally do that, but you need to at least vocalize to your partner like, wow, okay, a lot of things are coming up right now and I don't know what I'm supposed to feel about them. And if it's okay, I'd just like to take some peace and like come back in an hour and talk more about this. If you aren't having those conversations with your partner just in general about like when conflict arises or when diversity in your relationship arises, that I feel like is more important to figure out first. And again, I say that not to be like, if you can communicate well, this is going to be a breeze, because that's not true. Things will come up even to the best of relationships. There will be issues that come up in a non-monogamous journey. Like it just happens. You can't predict everything, and you can't predict how your body is going to react and how you're going to feel and like what triggers might come up. But again, like having that underlying communicative style with your partner is so key. I also think you don't have to go in with like, this is the thing I've been wanting and I don't know how to bring it up to you and I want to fuck other people. And if you don't say yes, like I don't think this is going to work because I feel like I'm denying a part of my identity I want to explore and blah, 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 blah. Like, I think we could even just go in very mildly and start with like, I've been thinking about like how modern relationships look, how they're very different from maybe what we grew up with or what our parents modeled after us. Like, I'd love to explore your thoughts on those relationships and like talk about what that could maybe look like for us. Also, if your partner has never even heard of ENM or non-monogamy, like, I don't anticipate someone jumping on board right away. Like, give them space to feel their feelings. And this also is something that is going to be multiple conversations. I don't think it's just like a one and done conversation ever. That's never been true for me, even someone who's been doing this for a while. Also, highly recommend this to be a time to open up the idea of couples counseling, especially someone that is poly friendly or has that background. Like, I think couples therapists who are anti this kind of thing still exist, and you don't want to get stuck with someone like that. So, like, shop around and look for specifically an ENM therapist. Okay, hope that was helpful. Moving right along. Look at us. We're fucking cruising. Okay. Help. I thought I was cool with this, this person writes, but every time my partner goes on a date, I feel like my insides are melting. How do I deal with jealousy? Oh, baby girl, you are not alone. You know who is 100% chill 100% of the time that has no jealous feelings ever? Fucking robots. Literally bring in the Teslas. Nobody feels completely chill 100% of the time with non-monogamy. Like, jealousy has been labeled. It's like what we are taught to believe is the most insulting thing you can say to a partner. Like, as soon as someone is like, you're fucking, like, you're being jealous. Why are you so jealous? That's like the most hurtful thing. And we've been taught that that is bad, not good, boo, bad. You never want to feel it. That's insane. That is crazy to assume a worldwide feeling is not going to be felt by you at some point in this experience. I also think, like, it's a healthy thing to feel jealousy, because jealousy doesn't equals bad. Like, it doesn't mean something is wrong. It just is an indicator of something that has come up. It is literally a moment to say, oh, I'm feeling something in my body. Let's, like, figure this out. Let's label this. Let's, like, get to the root of it. I think also we try to push down jealousy and get rid of it. It's something I think about too with, like, chronic pain or, like, panic attacks, where the more I ignore it, the worse it gets. So getting curious about something, like, figuring out where is the jealousy coming from? Is it comparison? Is it fear of abandonment? Is it an unmet need? Is it something that your partner could fix by literally all you have to do is say, like, hey, I'm feeling jealous right now, and I would love just, like, a moment of connection with you where I need just some words of affirmation from you. And any partner that cares and loves about you is going to go, oh my God, yes, of course. Like, I adore you. I love you. That, you know, me going on a date doesn't mean I have any less feelings for you. You know, in fact, I've said this a million times, but I often find that these kinds of relationships bring me closer to my partner, because you just, you have no choice but to get deeper into each other's psyche with this kind of thing. We talk a lot about compersion in the open community, which is the opposite of jealousy, and finding compersion for your partner. It's actually like finding joy for them feeling joy. So it's the same thing of like when I watch my partner doing something they love to do, it's like I'm smiling ear to ear like an idiot. You know, like the first time I watched Henny play soccer, I was like, oh my God, I love watching him love to do something. That is makes me so happy. And it's that same feeling that I can find a way to like translate and transmute the feeling of like, I'm so happy that he's happy into my, it's called compersion. So like that is not, again, that is a skill and a trait that you can learn. It comes with a lot of gratitude also. Like, I find myself in open relationships just offering words of gratitude out of nowhere. Like, I just am constantly complimenting my partner. I'm always voicing the things I'm grateful about them, the little things that they do. Like, start with that. Just say, like, I appreciate how much you are open to this, no pun intended, open to the idea of this lifestyle. Like, I'm so grateful that you are willing to go here with me. And like the second that I turn my brain from like that jealousy feeling to like gratitude, I often find that the jealousy goes away, right? And I also think that self-care is really important. Like, you talk about your partner actually being out on physical dates. Oh, it's hard to just sit at home by yourself and, like, be on your phone or watching the clock, like, hoping and waiting and praying for your person to come back soon. So I always find that scheduling something the same time as your partner going out is super helpful. Like, maybe it's like you finally get to fucking paint your toenails, or like finally get that peace and quiet so you can listen to that audiobook, or like you needed to deep clean that fucking makeup brush of yours. Like, whatever it is, find something where you're not actually looking at time or thinking about like a time frame. Okay, let's move to the next question. I love this one. What an interesting question. What are some basic rules and boundaries I should set when starting non-monogamy? Okay, here is the thing, right? Like, rules are things you enforce on somebody, like non-consensually, usually. Boundaries are things you decide you need in order to feel safe. Big fucking difference. I feel like that is a question I get asked all the time, is like, how do you decide your rules? And I'm like, I don't like to call them rules. Boundaries are also things that you keep yourself accountable for. Rules are things that other people break, right? Like, when someone crosses a boundary, it is your sole responsibility to decide if that is a boundary that was crossed that is unforgivable or flexible or ever-changing, fluid. Like, calling it a boundary for me just gives me more power with it. But for someone that has been doing this for a while, I have found some main components of boundaries that make me feel safe that I think are a good, like, starter pack, if you will. Number one for me has always been safety. So STI screenings, safe sex practices, like, that goes beyond the emotional health. Like, that's actually physical health. And we were all young and dumb at some point, right? But we're all old enough now to know what happens when you don't, you know, use protection. And that for me is like a pretty hard boundary. Not to say there isn't like slip ups and hardware issues and like things in my past that I have, that other partners have brought up or have experienced, or agreements that have been made with other, you know, when we brought in a third. Like, we are all typically on the same page as something like that. And I feel like that should definitely be in your, you know, Rolodex. Next boundary I implement is absolutely doing emotional check-ins. So how often do you feel like you need a check-in, just whether it's them the night that they're on a date, or like, how often do you want to sit at home and like connect with them? But like, sitting and being with somebody, I learned this recently with Open Deeply, which I had not thought about, but like, sometimes when I would do debriefs with partners, I'd be like, okay, yeah, just call me after the date and let me know how it went. And I find that I don't mind hearing details. Usually I love hearing details because I'm bisexual and I'm like a girly girl, and I'm like, oh my God, how'd it go? Tell me everything. Like, what are they into? What are you into? Like, are they cool? Do we like them? And I also think, like, if this person's going to be in my life too, like if it's someone we're going to date together, I definitely want those details. But like, when someone would come home, the book talked about how, like, if your first question when they come home is like, well, how was it? That person's immediately going to automatically have to disconnect from the present moment to go back in their mind to recap the date. So like, they're probably going to like close their eyes, like look up, like trying to gather details. Like, it's not easy to like cuddle and be present and look into somebody's eyes when you're talking about the past. So I am trying this new thing where I want to just emotionally check in with that person about like anything else besides the date, just checking in on like how they're feeling or getting just affirmations or, you know, just experiencing presence with them is an emotional way to check in. You know, there's also boundaries of like, hey, even if you're going to be late or over or later than you thought, just shoot me a text, because the worst is when you don't get a text till 1 a.m, like, oops, lost track of time. And you're like, oh, geez, so you really weren't thinking of me at all, huh? And I go to bed early anyway, so usually if someone's out past 9:30, I'm not thinking about them anyway. I'm thinking about the back of my eyelids. So that's a lot easier for me to when I'm thinking about emotional check-ins, I usually like to schedule them, give them their own time, give them their own space to breathe. And there, for me, that's like also a mandatory. It doesn't have to be like the same time every whatever. I just mean like if we're not doing emotional check-ins, we're emotionally bypassing this whole process. Like some people are don't ask, don't tell. I don't want to see it. Ignorance is bliss. That is not me. And there are with couples, I feel like some household, like housekeeping agreements to think about, right? Like sleeping over, like using people's stuff. If you guys have kids, like scheduling things, like making sure that those other partnerships or outside partnerships aren't infringing on the experience of life that we have built together. And that's, some people call it like couple privilege, right? Where they'll be like, oh, we can just forget about the other people in this thing because we have this bond and it's priority and it comes first. But I just think it's not realistic to pretend like you don't share like a home or assets or children with someone else. Like we split groceries. Like I need to know if you're going to the grocery store today. Like, you know what I mean? So like call it couple privilege, but I think there is a healthy way and to call out couple privilege, like especially if your partner is experiencing someone that you are going to get to know, maybe as a friend or to date as well, that like you can be like, hey, he's really bad at texting, or like, hey, he and I are wanting to talk about, you know, like sleepover experiences or whatever. Just being vocal about what you see changing and what you see absolutely not being something you are willing to change in your day-to-day life for other partnerships is being important. So I think the most important boundary is also the willingness to adjust boundaries. Put that on a shirt. Okay, let's see. I'm going to try and speed through these last couple. Okay. Oops, we opened up too fast and now everything feels messy and overwhelming. Can we go back to monogamy? Yes, of course you can. Open relationships can close all the time. I mean, the only thing I think about is like when you are using your couple privilege to close off your relationship and by hurting someone else, I don't think that's very cool. But of course there are going to be times where things get messy. People mess up, people miscommunicate, people hook up with people that maybe you find that you are uncomfortable with. And later down the line, it starts a fight or whatever. I definitely got into a messy situation in my last relationship where I knew this person wanted to be poly and non-hierarchical. And I had, but like naturally we had fallen into a hierarchical relationship. And I made it very clear that I needed clarity from them about what they saw as their future experiences with this. And I did not get that clarity. And it was really messy and it felt rushed of like everyone's decision making. And I think in that instance, it was absolutely proven that we were not meant to be together. But in your instance where like this is someone you still want to be with, that you still want to work on, like you can always go back to non-monogamy. Like you can always go back to that why of like, why did you want to open up in the first place? Like what's working? You know, do a debrief. What was the thing that was causing stress? Like bring in a therapist at that point. reevaluate like what your needs actually are. Like that's often the biggest thing of conflict is like someone realizing a need that they had that they didn't know until it happened. And that's what I was talking about in the beginning where I was saying like the biggest difference between me then and now is like back then, had I not been able to experience and voice that unmet need, I would have been like, I'm fucking this up, or like, I'm bad at being open, or like, oh God, they've broken a boundary I didn't even express I needed. Like, this is never going to work. And now I just know that we can always go back to like, okay, let's go back to like, what are our values? What are our wants? Where do we need support and improvement? And, you know, Jared and I used to always talk about this experience of like coming from love, where we would say like everything needs to come from a place of love. Like if we were giving, you know, criticism or praise or going through conflict, it was always best to come from a place of love and not fear. And knowing those differences, like I can have a million fears that something, you know, Henny's going to fall in love with someone else, that Henny's going to make a mistake, that, you know, I can think of a million fears in my head, but I always have to go and recheck myself of like, is this actually true? Or is this just a fear I'm having? Like, what would this fear look like if I switched it to a lens of love? Like, how can I self-regulate and self-reflect enough to know that these are predictions I'm trying to make of the future rather than saying what is the truth and what has he proven to me and what has he shown me up until now? Like he's never given me any reason to not believe him or to worry or fear before. And just because we're opening up or we are dating multiple, whatever, I have no reason to believe that like that same basis of love wouldn't be there. So of course people get sick. Stress happens, new jobs, moving. Like there's a million fucking reasons why I've closed my relationship before or taken a break from it, right? Or just like gotten off the apps or like only gone to play parties because I just want to have some like fun on the side that I didn't need to be in like a full-blown dating scenario. Like there are so many different versions of that. So yeah, just take a step back and reassess like what do you actually need? Okay, I think I have time for one more question. This is from someone new to the lifestyle. I don't know if they're in a partnership or not, but they said, I have read every book, listened to all the podcasts. I am trying, but things just aren't clicking. What now? Okay. I am someone that does not like to fail. I do overachieve. And I like being good at things. I don't like being bad at things. And which is why like my number one fear thought in my head is always like, oh, if there's conflict within this, am I being bad at being non-monogamous? And that's something I like have to get over. But things might not be clicking because sometimes you're overthinking things in the sense of like the same way I said there's going to be so much communication around this lifestyle. Sometimes there just needs to be actual doing as well. Like it almost is like a lesbian relationship where you're talking about feelings all the time. You're very in tune with your emotions. There's a lot of learning and reading and researching and podcasts and all these things. And like sometimes you just have to go out there and do it and try the thing and get over the fear. Cause like the greatest gifts are on the other side of fear is what they say, right? Like there are low stakes way to find those little wins of feeling like it's not clicking. Like maybe start with something very little as like low stakes flirting, like flirt with your fucking bartender or like just be cute messaging someone on the apps or whatever. Like it doesn't need to be, you know, you diving in head first. Like the book that I just finished talks a lot about like an emphatic, like true yes. We often like people pleasers will just say yes when they actually mean like maybe or no. And I think there's a fear that stops us from just being like an emphatic yes because of past triggers or traumas. And what I have found more oftentimes than not, I would say 9 out of 10 times, it's not as bad as I thought the thing was going to be. Like I have all these fears where I'm so worried about this. And then after the physical thing is done, like the date is over or they've had sex or whatever, hooked up, I'm like, oh, I don't feel at all the way I thought I was. Like, I really was working up in my head that this was going to be such a big fucking deal. And it's really not. And, you know, of course, I think the other thing is like to never force yourself into something that just isn't right. Like it is. Ooh, I'm going to sneeze, I think. Oh, God, it's coming. Oh, my God. I've been on sneezing fits today. Excusez-moi. You never want to force yourself or someone else into this. And like baby steps exist for a reason. Like there are tons of play party communities, non-monogamy like circles, Facebook groups, WhatsApp support group. Like finding people that have gone through this before is going to be crucial to talk to them about. Like just having other people to bounce it off of, because you in your head is like the two worst, the blind leading the blind. It's just like going in circles sometimes of like the things that you can create in your own head. And then once you actually put it into your physical body and you just go out there and you do the thing and you see that like you're okay and you survived it. And even if it's not okay, you're still going to survive it. And you have the capabilities and the wherewithal. And hopefully at this point, like the practice and the knowledge of getting through it. Wow, those sneezes really sent me for a loop. How did you like this, confidant? Did you learn something new? Do you have more questions? Should I do a part two? Hey, listenership is a little down right now. I don't know if it's just Q1 jitters or what, but what really helps this podcast get seen and like to be able to do this as like a job is giving this a rate and review. It does really help the algorithm to get seen. If you're on Spotify, we really could use some Spotify reviews as well. Give us a little commenty comment. Give me some engagement, as the kids do. And hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for being open. We listen and we don't judge. There we go. All right, confidant. See you next week. Bye. That was a hard ending. I'm sorry. Let me play us out again.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.